Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Deep drop for Hurts, trying to find something downfield, and it's Devontae Smith. He's loose. He's got it. He is gone. Touchdown, Eagles.
First and goal for New England. Ramondre Stevenson walks it in for a touchdown.
Lutz, 39-yard field goal for the win. He got it. Denver is one.
To get the gifts, they close it out. And here he is on the run
inside,
pushing the pile. To the goal line, in for the touchdown. Have a day, have a night, CMC.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, I'll take a couple of those. It was a fantasy day, right? Watch the fantasy team yesterday. I'll take a couple of those. I had Will Lutz. I have Will Lutz as my fantasy kicker. And CMC, baby, Christian McCaffrey. Went to bed last night not exactly knowing what the final score was. And then we knew it was close late. CMC was having a good night. Woke up this morning. I'm like, hey, did a really good job. Hi, everybody. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Here on a Buffalo Football Monday. And I hope I should sound the same to you. Always a little bit different when you're in a different spot. Might look different to you as well. If you're on the stream, hi, Bullpen, everybody. We're on YouTube streaming at WGR 550. And the reason is that I am in a totally different studio. I am at the WSBU studios down at St. Bonaventure University, a student radio station. And they're nice enough to have me down here today to be speaking to a whole bunch of students in the sport management program in the School of Business. And students from sports media. So if you're a St. Bonaventure student, you're like, I was going to blow off class today. Yeah, don't do that. Come on. Or maybe you can and still come listen to me speak, because I'll be talking to some people today and some students about life and sports and business and media and everything that goes along with it. But just kind of about like the journey, right? And getting here and how it's different, a different path for everybody. So I appreciate them having me down here today. Got up this morning. It's about an hour and a half ride from Buffalo. I live in the city. And nice little ride, though. Got to listen to Jeremy and Joe this morning on my way down. Sometimes I think Jeremy and Joe get mad because I text them. I hear things that they're saying, and I'm not on with them, and I text them. Like, they're talking about Mac Hollins and him leaving the Bills and now playing for the New England Patriots and, what some people might say and how it went down or how the Bills basically were like, well, we thought we'd get him back. We didn't. And I'm texting them, my perspective from what I know, what happened for Mac Hollins. And I'm like, do they even want to hear from me right now? I'm not really sure. But too bad. They're going to, because I'm listening to them and listening to a lot of you. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. We're going to keep this as a regular Buffalo Football Monday with one exception. Instead of a reaction show to a Bills game, because there's no Bills game, we're going to actually talk a little Sabres as well. Paul Hamilton's going to come your way at 11 a.m. I mean, how about the Buffalo Sabres, folks? They are on a two-game winning streak. And they have a chance tonight in Montreal, who's also playing well, to get back to 500. And actually, no. Oh, great. I love this. Tony B. Sal's texting while driving. Nope. I actually do voice to text. And it's probably looks really, really weird. I do a lot of voice to text. I don't do that. So I actually do. What I do is I can't say it now, but hey, you know who? I say text Jeremy and Joe and actually have them on my panel. Bam. And I just click it and it says, what do you want to say? And I say, I say, Matt Collins left for the Buffalo Bills for 2 years, $8.4 million and up to $10.4 million. And then she reads it back and says, it says, Matt Collins, do you want to send? Yes, I do that. So there you go. That's a good point though. Yeah. Don't text while driving. But I use CarPlay. So there you go. So Paul's going to come our way at 11 a.m. and he's going to talk a little about the Sabres, of course, and them having a chance tonight to get back to 500, believe it or not. And I say 500, right? Getting actually 6 points out of 12 games. Right now they have 4 points in 10 games and they're trying to get back in the mix. But we'll do that at 11 a.m. with Paul Hamilton. In the meantime, we got our regular Football Monday features. And of course, it is a Buffalo Football Monday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premium Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. So if you're in the chat, I appreciate it. Hi, Bullpen. As usual, I won't be able to get to a lot of what you were saying because I'm doing the show here and taking phone calls, and we want to take calls still today as a Buffalo Football Monday. I've been thinking about what I watched yesterday. I've been thinking about some of the highlights from the teams that you just heard from. We just heard from what? We heard the Eagles get a big W after they had dropped a couple in a row. Think about the Eagles, right? I mean, they're kind of a bit of a same path as the Bills a little bit here. They were 4-0. Then they just, and they didn't look totally right in some of those wins. And then they drop one to Denver. They drop one of the Giants, and you're like, come on, what are you doing? And then they have a nice win. Didn't look great, but still won against the Vikings. They're 5-2. I think it's kind of a parallel little path here for the Bills. They start 4-0. They lose a game at home to the New England Patriots. Like, yeah, you shouldn't have lost. You think you shouldn't have. Some things that you didn't do right, you'd got to clean up. Then you go out to Atlanta, you lose, and now you need to bounce back. So that was one that we heard from on the highlights there. Another was the Denver Broncos. I mean, how about that? What are you thinking, folks? Were you rooting for Denver or the New York Giants yesterday? Because you could make a case for either. If you want to just go with the whole, oh no, it's NFC against AFC, and you want to make sure you're in a better position at the end of the day and at the end of the season than every team in the AFC as you can, then you're rooting for Denver to lose yesterday to be 4-3, and the Bills would be ahead of them, even though they have the division lead, because at the end of the year, that one game could mean seeding. Or you could have been rooting for Denver to say, no, I need them ahead of the Chiefs still. And they really are. The Chiefs still are in third place in their division. But I mean, does anybody really think the Chiefs aren't going to take over at least the Chargers, if not more, with the Broncos after what we've seen with the Chiefs? And I want to get into them in a minute. And then we heard San Fran last night. Yeah, San Fran looked better against Atlanta than the Bills did. Atlanta also had a road game on Monday night, a little bit different, but the Bills allowed, if you want to use that word, I guess, Atlanta and Bijan Robinson to have big runs, big night. San Fran didn't do that. San Fran was very good against Bijan last night. And you could say that's another indictment on the Bills' defense and what they haven't been this year. And you wouldn't be wrong looking at the stats and numbers. And then, of course, you had New England. Here come the New England Patriots. They are now 5-2. They lead the AFC East by 1.5 games, essentially, right? They're up a half game. I guess you'd say by one full game, maybe, whatever you want to call it, because now they're up. They're 5-2. The Bills are 4-2, so that's a half game there, but they have the head-to-head, so it's one full game. And since they are head-to-head, the Bills would have to beat them. I say it's like 1.5. The Bills have to beat them out. But you can make that up. But here come the New England Patriots, and Drake May looks really, really good. He set a New England Patriots franchise record. Yes, that's right, the team that used to have Tom Brady, with a 90% completion rate on more than 20 passes. I think he had to have more than 20 for to qualify for this whatever stat. But either way, he was, what, I think 23 of 25? Got to go back and look yesterday what his final number was. I think it was trending that way at the very end. Let me look at Drake May. Yesterday, he was 21 of 23. There you go. For 222 and two touchdowns. And he looks good. And by the way, they brought in Dobbs comes in for May, who was in concussion protocol for a brief moment. He was in the tent, and he has a 12-yard completion. And the Patriots, it wasn't great until about halftime, and then the second half they kind of took over, and they did what they should do against the Tennessee Titans, you would think. But the Patriots aren't going away, folks. The Patriots are not going away. They are a team that's going to be there, especially considering their schedule. Now, I am interested in how they look the next 2 weeks. They have really 3 weeks. Cleveland, because Cleveland's defense is good. And they go to New England next week. And the way New England plays with what I always like to say, not a lot of margin for error, I'm interested to see that offense against the Cleveland defense. The problem is I don't think Cleveland can outscore them. Even if the Cleveland defense plays well, a low-scoring game, Cleveland probably wins. Then they do get Atlanta at home as well. Then they have to go to Tampa. So the next three games for New England are very interesting. And in the meantime, the Bills have to get back on track themselves, of course. And that starts next week against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers with another win, 3 in a row. They win 13-6 over the New York Jets. They're just finding ways to win. They're 4-3. And they lost to New England, by the way, 42-13. And they shut out Atlanta 30-0. Who can figure these games sometimes? And as the Bills head towards Carolina, it just underscores how big of a game this is for them. The Bills have to win this game. You can't come back home next week against a Kansas City Chiefs team after dropping another and going 4-3. You're staring 4-4 right between the eyes. Even if you get to 5-2 for the Bills, 5-3 isn't the greatest start. But you have to win this game to even get there. Because after that, you have the Dolphins, who just look terrible right now. But then it's the Bucks and the Texans and the Steelers and the Bengals, who have some life now. And then the Patriots again. And then that Browns defense and the Eagles. Suddenly, the Bills' schedule, which looked a lot easier, I guess, in the offseason, isn't so much easier anymore. And that happens all the time. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. All right. Here's what I want to do for the next little while. Before we get Paul Hamilton at the top of the hour, at least. Let's kind of get your temperature and your pulse on where the Bills are, but really what they need to do. Like, what do they need to do? How do they get out of what's happened the last 2 weeks? Jeremy and Joe had a really good poll today and a really good question. And it was basically, like, who's to fix it? Who's to fix it? How do you fix it? Is it Joe Brady? Is it Brandon Bean? Is it Josh? They were specifically talking about the offense, if the offense needs fixing. I'm more concerned still about the defense right now. I do think Michael Hoyt will help a lot. Even Larry Ogunjobi, especially because Daquan Jones is out, you need another guy in that rotation because it hurt them losing Daquan before the game. Now, these are not, I'm not telling you that they are Bruce Smith and Fred Smirlis, right, coming back for all of you OG fans, right? Of course, we know Bruce Smith, but Fred Smirlis, good nose tackle back in the day. I was trying to think of a good comp here. All right, Ted Washington, whatever. I'm not saying that. But I do think these guys will help. I think they'll allow the Bills to play a little bit differently, how they want to play. But they still have a lot of questions on the defensive end. And yes, questions on the offensive end. But I always kind of default to Josh Allen on the offense. I say, well, they still have Josh. And even if it doesn't look right, at the end of the day, you have a chance and you're going to make plays because you have Josh Allen. Now, it hasn't worked out as much the last 2 weeks. I get that. But generally, that's the case. On defense, I think you could pick apart a lot of different spots and say, well, how are you going to fix that part? What are you going to do differently here? What are you going to do when the Kansas City Chiefs come to town and they have all that speed? And I'm interested to see. And before I take phone calls, and thanks a lot, we got a couple people on hold, and I appreciate that. We'll get to you in just a second. I remember I was at a function a few years ago, and the guy, and I can't remember his name now, he used to run the Hall of Fame, and he was up, he was talking, and his son had played at USC. And he said, this is when Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC. And he told this story. This is a really, it kind of resonated with me this week. Sorry, excuse me. And he told this story. And the story was, one time USC was playing Oregon State, and they were down pretty bad. They were down like in the third quarter. And USC was supposed to be boat racing them, basically, and they weren't. He said Pete Carroll called a timeout or they had it after a score, whatever. He brought the whole team over to the sidelines. And he's like, they're down. They're down like two scores, 10 points, whatever, to a team they should not, they should be totally handling. And Pete Carroll looked at his team and he said, man, this is great, isn't it? Everybody's like, what are you talking about, coach? It's great. We're down. We're losing to Oregon State. It's great. This is great. I'm so excited. Like, what do you mean? And he said, I'm excited to see how you respond. So we're so all the time, like we go out there, we beat teams, but now you have adversity. How do you respond to adversity? And look, nobody wants to be in this situation for the Bills. I'm excited to see what they put on the field next Sunday. I really am. I'm not telling you you're going to go out to Carolina and beat them by 40 points. I don't know. They could lose the game. I mean, Carolina's looking good. They might have Andy Dalton, the quarterback, by the way. The beloved Andy Dalton from Bills Mafia, right? And by the way, I think you might want to face Bryce Young instead of Andy Dalton. But Andy Dalton might be playing. Who knows about that injury situation? I'm excited to see what the Bills put on the field. I really am. How do they respond to these 2 weeks? How do they respond to having a bye week and self-scouting? What are we going to see different? I'm excited for that. How's it look to you? 803-0550. General thoughts, how to fix it, what's gone wrong, where you are right now, getting a temperature of you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's start us off with Cody, who is in North Carolina, and I will actually be able to pull Cody up in a minute, but go ahead, Dan, if you could pull Cody up for me right now, I'd appreciate it. Go ahead, Cody, you're on the air.
Hey, Chad, thanks for taking my...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Call.
You got it, buddy.
Just to kind of piggyback on the Jeremy and Joe conversation, I feel like it's a Brady problem more than anything, right? You know, I feel like a lot of teams out there are, you know, running crossing routes and scheming their guys open, and we just are kind of sending Coleman down the field on an island. You know, his greatest attribute in the combine was the gauntlet drill, and it's like, you know, send him across the field, get him open, and try to get him in different patterns and change it up a little bit, you know. I also think too, you know, we talk about Kincaid and, you know, how much of an attribute he is to the team, but it's like, if he's hurt, which happens often, we kind of go away from the tight end, right? So why are we not using Knox and running those same routes? And then my last thing is, you know, why are we not putting the running backs out in passing formation? You know, you look at Atlanta and Robinson, they split him out all the time, just trying to get him the ball, you know. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. I'll go with you on at least one of the points I totally agree with here, and that is, number one, the running backs. I want to see more of that. I want to see, where is Ty Johnson involved in the passing game? Where is James Cook? Maybe that's an adjustment they make after the bye. Now, I will tell you that sometimes you have to keep those guys in for pass protection, and if teams are heating up Josh Allen, you need extra blockers, but you could also use those guys as little outlets, which they have. I'm not with you on the tight end part because, look, I think that's nice to say, but, I mean, people want it both ways then. Well, why aren't they using Dawson Knox to do that? How many people want Dawson Knox doing that, though? It's like he has done that, but how many times do I get phone calls like, why is Dawson Knox even on the team? He can't do this. He can't do that. And now you're saying, well, no, you need him to go do all these things. Like, I don't know if you're going to get that same level. I agree with you, though, that losing Kincaid was a really big deal last week, and that could be a really big deal going forward. Hopefully he can play. He's had a couple of weeks now. That's 3 weeks, right? You missed last week's game. You have the bye week. That's 3 weeks with the oblique. Hopefully he comes back. And as far as Joe Brady's concerned, I do think Joe Brady can be better. I think everybody can be better. But this is a team. Last year was setting franchise records for points scored. I don't just want to say it's only because they have Josh Allen. I think you have to give Joe Brady some credit for that too, right? And I don't know. Is it because they ran more crossing routes? It does seem like they need better separation somehow. And sometimes that has to come down to scheming guys open. All right, let's go to Trent in Jamestown. Hi, Trent. You're on WGR.
Hey, how's it going, Tyler? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch in on how it kind of feels like Groundhog Day to me, like the last 5 to 6 years. We're in this position a lot, it seems like, and I think we will bounce back. We kind of seem how, you know, we seem to always do that, but at some point it's less about players and more about plays. I think Joe Brady has it in him, but I think he needs to open up the playbook a little bit. It seems like more of a scheme thing to me, but we are in this position pretty much every year, losing a couple in a row, and then we bounce back.
Let's say he opens it up. What does that look like to you, Trent? Trent, what does it look like to you to open up the playbook? Like, do you have something in mind, a player in mind? Because a lot of things of what we see and what we hear is, well, they don't have guys to separate downfield. So you can open it up as much as you want. That could also just equal 2nd and 10 or 3rd and 10 if you can't get it to them.
Yeah, I think we got to get the running backs involved in the passing game as well, and maybe try to stretch the field a little bit. We got Josh Palmer. I don't know how his injury's looking, but we signed guys that kind of seem like they're supposed to fill a separation role, and they haven't shown a whole lot of that.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And listen, I think Palmer's got to be a little bit of that guy, right? And he was signed for this. He's not a great burner downfield, but he's a good separator in route running. And that was the book on him, why they signed him. And that injury really hurt them. They didn't have Kincaid. Then all of a sudden they didn't have Palmer. He had already had 60 yards before halftime when he got hurt. A 45-yard catch, another 15-yard catch, which he gets hurt on. We'll hear from Sean McDermott later in the week. On Wednesday will be the first time we hear from McDermott. He'll give us an update on some of the injured guys, where the Bills stand with that. Josh Palmer is going to be a key guy to look at and think about there. We all know what happened back in April/May, right after the draft, when Brandon Bean came on WGR and he talked about wide receiver, and Jeremy's had the wide receiver train, and wasn't necessarily something they did this year with the train, but it was a talk, and it was still a talking point, and it has been. And Brandon Bean defended what they were doing at wide receiver and the fact that they scored 30 points a game, and he's not wrong on that. He has scoreboard, as we say, right? I do think, though, as I watched this team over the last few weeks, it feels like they still need a little more there. You don't have to have just, oh my God, go get the fastest guy on the planet. A lot of times that doesn't work, folks. I know. But I do think you need a little more ability to be able to get down the field, whether that's a player or a play, as Trent just said. But if you don't have that speed, it's a little bit tougher, right? When I'm watching the Chiefs yesterday, it's not just because they have Xavier Worthy, yes, he's fast, or Rashee Rice, he's fast. Those guys make plays. A lot of times those guys, their plays are off the line of scrimmage. Rashee Rice scored a touchdown on a little flip pass in front of him. But you know what it did, though? Suddenly here comes Travis Kelce now, who seems like has a lot more room to operate. And that's what that can do for you. Elijah Moore has some speed. Maybe that's a bit of a ticket they can use. So we'll see what adjustments, what creativity, if you will, what planning Joe Brady and the offense come up with during the bye week. Let's go up to Billy in Toronto. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, Sal. How's it going? Yeah, listen. You know, the worst nightmare is coming through right now. Forget about the Bills. Forget about everything else. The Kansas City Chiefs are starting to roll, just like you said. We had a chance to put them away, at least have a big lead in the division, and coast home to a first-round bye throughout the playoffs. And now we've let everybody back in. And like you say, even this Carolina team is starting to play a lot better. Who can say that that's a win? I mean, we got to start letting Josh be Josh. I mean, I'm sick and tired of trying to run here, pass here, do this by the book. Let's open it up and let Josh be Josh. And that's the only way we're going to start scoring. We'll get guys open and stuff like that when teams got to really, really really got to concentrate on Josh. Then it'll make our other players better. But I'll tell you this, you know, again, I can't reiterate this enough. Nobody's called in more to this show and told you we're going to the Super Bowl. And God damn it, we have let Kansas City back in. For them to hold the Raiders to three first downs in a football game, the Raiders should be kicked out of the league, as far as I'm concerned. Three first downs.
Guys, Billy.
It's now between us and Kansas City again, and that's what worries me.
Well, let me say, I got two things for you, Billy, before you go, okay? Thanks for calling us also. I got two things for you. Number one, yes, the Bills losing two games kind of lets them back in. I get your point. But you can't do anything about Kansas City until you play them. You want to keep them out, you beat them. I mean, the Bills have nothing to do with Kansas City playing the Raiders. That's Kansas City. Kansas City has played six separate games than the Buffalo Bills. When you say let them back in, the only way you could do what you described early was to go 6-0 in your first six games, which is great, but a little unrealistic sometimes too. Yes, one loss and one win that could have changed New England or Atlanta would definitely make you feel better. I get that. But it's not like, you know, Kansas City is their own team. They've had six games. The Bills still have a chance to play them, and that's when you can try and do something about it. You can't really do anything about them until you play them. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yep.
Okay, number two. What's the vibe like in Toronto tonight, brother?
Well, I'll tell you something. It is wide open. Like I've been saying since the beginning of the year, it's wide open for anybody to win. But, I mean, with it.
No. Billy, did you hear what I asked you? What is the vibe in Toronto tonight, like for baseball? It's game seven.
What do you think, Sal?
Why, come on. People are going crazy, right? I mean, what's it like? It's going to be awesome up there, man.
It's awesome. It does seem to be, you know, again, this wasn't expected halfway through the year. We're starting to see a lot of people come out of the woodwork that were supposed to be Blue Jay fans for life. But you know what? Hey, it's not Toronto. It's all over Canada that they're going crazy, and you know it's well deserved. And hopefully we get it done today, and then we got a big task ahead of playing the Kansas City Chiefs of baseball, the LA Dodgers. So yeah, they're going nuts up here, and I just hope if we get beat, it's not by bad bullpen decisions or bad. If we get beat, you know what? We get beat. But this team is different. This is old school baseball. I know Vladdy's having a good series, and I know I've ripped him on your show before. But it's everybody 1-9 getting base hits, everybody doing their job. This is old school at its finest. And, hopefully we're playing L.A. in the World Series.
Billy, take care. Thanks for calling, as always, buddy. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
You got it. All right. We'll take a timeout here. God, how about tonight, man? Think about this. You got two Monday Night Football games tonight. Game 7 of the ALCS tonight, just across the border, basically. Sabres also across the border a little bit. And the other side, though, over there, Montreal. Sabres, two Monday Night Football games. Game 7 should be awesome. Awesome here to be with you from the WSBU studios on the campus of St. Bonaventure University. Today, talking with some students after this, talking with you today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. Sal Capaccio with you. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls on the Bills. Paul Hamilton on the way at 11 a.m.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.